What's up, everybody? Welcome to the pod. My name is Dewey Rogers, and I am the CMO here at Fast Fit and the Perfect Workout. And today I am taking over the pod, and I'm going to be interviewing Kyle Rekia, our CEO, with some super exciting news. And we're going to have a great conversation about some fun things that he's got coming up. So enjoy.
Welcome to the Fast Fit Podcast, where exercise meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Rekia, CEO of Fast Fit. We hope you enjoy the show.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This background behind me, these wood slats, they're different than the normal black background behind me because I'm in the hot seat today. And it's going to be really fun because we've got Dewey Rogers, both our chief marketing officer and a really great friend on the podcast today. And he wants to talk about me, which is probably uncomfortable, but that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. No, we're excited about it. We've been talking about this and we got a special topic coming up here. So I'm excited to dive into it. But before we get to that teaser, your book, I do just want to talk about you. You know, most people know you as the CEO of Fast Fit and the Perfect Workout, and we love working for you. You're incredible at that. Our members love you. But something that we haven't gotten to talk about a lot on the podcast is just your personal history farther than just the last couple of years. And so I'd like to start there. If you're cool with it, let's just talk about Kyle Rekia, who you are, where you came from, and how you got to this point where you're at as the CEO.
All right, well, let's do it. Well, you know, instead of giving my whole life story, like you said, I've got the book coming out, and I give a lot of those details in there. But I think what's important here is my story is not like unlike a lot of people's. I grew up in a mixed family. My parents separated when I was six. I've got an older sister, a twin brother. We've got his and hers, you know, steps and halves and all that kind of fun stuff. So I grew up in Texas. My dad lived in Florida after they separated, and I spent my childhood visiting him in the summers. And it was really interesting, sort of the different dynamics. When I go visit my dad, believe it or not, you won't be able to see this in the video, but I'm like pretty much 48 or 50% Italian, and they are the authentic Italian family. He looked like Mario from the Mario and Luigi, black mustache, tan. I didn't get any of that cool stuff. And then back here, my family's a bit larger, and we've got an Irish background, and so we got to spend a lot of time with each other. And so there was just a lot of differences between the two. When I was growing up here, we went to different schools, and I was always involved in athletics and sports and stuff. So I took, health somewhat serious, but my dad, and I talk about this more in the book, was not a very healthy individual. He had type 2 diabetes. He was obese. He smoked cigarettes every day. And it was a very different lifestyle than back here in Houston, where my mom, she had like an herb store. She tried to focus on foods that were healthy and organic and these sorts of things. And so growing up with sort of that juxtaposition, if you will, was stark. And that kind of guided me towards where I am now.
Yeah, incredible. I know that you and I have had a lot of conversations just offline on this topic, and you've shared so much more than we can cover here today. But so many people, you are shaped by your environment growing up, and it's so easy to just slip into the same patterns of your family. I would love for you to just tell us a little bit about how you got so invested into health and wellness, and what kept you from following some of those same family patterns that you grew up around.
Yeah. So watching my dad's health journey, when I got out of high school, I did some different things, and then I found my, and we talked about this in a prior episode, but I found myself pretty quickly going to school for something in the medical field. I thought I wanted to do like life flight paramedics or maybe become a doctor. That's how I met my wife, who was a real nurse. And
that's why you went to school to do that, right?
Yeah.
You met the girl and then.
Exactly. Okay. Tried to impress her. I need an excuse to borrow her books. But when I started taking those classes, I learned pretty quickly I didn't want to be on that side of things. I didn't want to be in a place where I was helping people that were already pretty far down the road of disease and sickness. I wanted to be more on the preventative side of things. So I got my personal training certificates through NASM. I started training at different country clubs and some different businesses, and I loved it. I'm a people person. I get energy from people, you know this.
So people get energy from you. Yeah, it's like a natural.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and at the same time, my dad was getting sicker and sicker. And, you know, I didn't know how to coach him. And at the time, it was more like, hey, did you know? It was like information overwhelm. Hey, Dad, if you just do all these 50,000 things, you can be healthy and available and great and just be there. And so that didn't seem to work. So I continued down that health journey. I started an online business that had healthy products and stuff. And at that same time, my wife and I had our first son, Liam, who's now 13. And having a child, as you know, you've got two young ones now, it just changes things. And for me, I was like, man, what I really want is to be healthy and available for him for as long as possible. And so that really solidified I'm in the right place in the right field. And so I hope that answers your question, but it's kind of...
Yeah, absolutely. I know that's a pretty emotional story, and there's a lot more context to that I'm sure that you'll share in future episodes or pieces of content or whatever. But, you know, your story here alone is fascinating. I mean, you start as a trainer and you work up, and then all of a sudden you're working as the COO next to Matt and our founder, and now you're the CEO, and that's just an incredible journey. And now you're an author, which is what I want to talk about next here. You wrote a book. It's coming out in a few weeks. And I know we kind of just fast forwarded through a lot of context, but really that's the meat and potatoes that I want to talk about. And so we just teed up a little bit of that history to get here. So based on early feedback from some of the leaks of the book, people are just hungry for what you have put out there and what you've produced. And it, the book is almost publishing itself because people are just asking for it. So tell us about it. What's it about? Why'd you write it? Why is it important?
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Yeah. So the name of the book is Fit for the Calling. And, you know, people may or may not know this about me, but I can get a little emotional. So talking about this book might make me emotional. I'm going to try not to. So I've talked about this in prior episode, a little bit more about my dad. I found this company and I got really excited about what Matt was doing, what the Perfect Workout was doing at the time. And I just became a true believer. I started training at our studio in River Oaks. And a couple of days later, I got a phone call from my sister that my dad had... sorry, Ben, you cut some of this. My dad had passed away. And at the time, he didn't get a chance to meet Liam, my son. And so, man, it was just like... It was heartbreaking because he was such a loving guy, and people really liked being around him. And he was in a lot of ways, in his own way, he was inspiring. And the reason I'll say that is because he was just a good human. And from my perspective, he didn't have an agenda. You know what I mean? So going through that, and then sort of getting even more inspired to say, how do I live as long as possible to be available for my son and now my four sons and my wife? And how do I help people do that? How do I help people become the healthiest version of themselves was really important. Mm-hmm. So fast forward a few years and, you know, I'm fired up. We're growing the business and we're expanding into new locations. And I ran into some big health issues myself. And I won't go deep into those here, but we've talked about those in prior episodes. I was having crazy symptoms. I was seeing doctors for years, spending all kinds of money, and getting into some disease states that made it really hard to function. At the peak of that, actually, when you and I met, we were living in Colorado, and COVID hit. And the business was seeing the same challenges most businesses were seeing, and I was dealing with these things. And I really started to lose myself. I really just started to lose myself in coping mechanisms. I started to lose sort of that purpose. Peace. And that was a struggle. Fast forward a few more years, that journey brought me through a lot of healing and a cool trajectory where not only is our business thriving again, my health is thriving, and the environment around me, my family, et cetera, are thriving. And so a year ago, we moved back to Texas, and I was actually sitting in a church service. I'm a man of faith. I play drums in church. Love music.
I'm great at them too.
Thank you. I was chatting with somebody that I hadn't seen in many, many years. And this person was telling me about really what they're passionate about. But it was coming from a place of lack. It was coming from a place of like, oh, I love this thing and I really want to see more of it in the world. And I really want to be a part of this thing and this movement. But if only I could get my health right. I'm so anxious and I've got these diagnoses, whether it's like diabetes, et cetera. And I have always believed that health is the first and most important thing when it comes to, this is the title of the book, your calling and your purpose. Because if you wake up every single day and you're dealing with anxiety or depression, and you're not the best version of yourself, you're not healthy enough to go out there in the world and not only be available for your kids, but be available for your purpose and your impact on your community, then you're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And so this book is really, it starts with identity. The meat and potatoes of the book is how to become healthy. And then it ends with purpose. And that's sort of the origin of Fit for the Calling.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I appreciate you being willing to be vulnerable today. We're privileged because we get to see your huge heart behind the scenes on a daily basis. And I just don't think that that's portrayed to the world as much as it needs to be. So thanks for just being willing to share that and even give some tears. And this book is so interesting because you don't typically see faith and fitness combined as two categories. They're typically very different. And in my experience, they sometimes even almost oppose each other. Like, you know, you run into people who might think, I have to give up my fitness and my health in order to pursue my faith. Or I have to, you know, give up my faith in order to go all in on my health. And you do see those extremes. And so you're taking these two categories and combining them and saying that not only are they not opposed to each other, but they're really directly correlated and integral to each other. Can you just talk a little bit about that? Like you talked about your journey in the church with your family and then your passion for faith or fitness, excuse me. How did those come together into this idea of calling and identity and your health supporting and tying into that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'll start with the identity piece. When I get into conversations with people and we're talking about removing the noise for them to take the right next step to become healthy. And I'm trying to pull out that why, right? What is that purpose or what is that calling that they feel like they have on their life? It doesn't take long for people to get stuck in the idea that I'm not worthy. And a lot of times I think people say, yeah, that's great for him because he can do these great things or he's capable of these great things or she's capable of these great things, or, but not me. Who am I? You know? And so we start with identity, and my faith is like, God has already said you are what I call in the book, beloved, that you are perfect and that you are loved and that you are accepted. And that is the most important thing to understand before you take any other next steps.
Now, can we just pause on that for a second? When did that become true for you? What was that experience like?
Well, I grew up in a really religious house and here in the South. So some people might relate to this, but it was some of the old school, like fire and brimstone. You're not good enough and you've got to earn God's love. And many years ago, I came across some people like Joseph Prince and sort of what I would say is the real gospel and the message of like, you are loved and what Jesus did was enough. And that was an identity shift for me. And it broke so many negative things and walls and down in my life that actually was the thing that happened before I was able to move into, okay, who do I want to become? And I started doing the personal training stuff. And then I kind of forgot about that because I was like, oh, that was just something I needed to hear, right? And then outside of faith or religion, I then came full circle into my conversations with people where they're like, nope, I'm not good enough. Whether it's the way they were raised or they felt like they had to earn something, and it snapped back into place. And this is actually just a normal, whether it's Christianity or it's just modern psychology, this is sort of a normal first step in health anyways, which is seeing your identity and knowing that you are accepted and knowing that you're good enough and knowing that you're capable is important to then move into the right steps for health and the purpose. So anyways, yeah, that's kind of a long story, but that's where it started.
And I know we've had plenty of conversations too that you required an identity shift before you could even experience the true breakthroughs in your health. And it wasn't until that identity shift happened that you were even able to gain ground with some of the more practical things that you were trying to fix your body. You had to fix your mind, you had to fix your heart. And
that's right.
So, yeah, that's huge.
And I believe, sorry, when we're on that, Dewey, is like, you know, we are physical and we've got our mental and then we've got our spiritual, our soul, so to speak. And these things, they have to be working together in tandem. And that's why I think marrying the physical, there's a lot of biblical truth on being physically capable and healthy and treating your body as a temple, but that can be taken as a burden. And so when I was talking to this person in church, I was thinking, how do I help them understand that they are loved, that they are perfect, and that they are capable of that calling that they have, and that they can do the things necessary to get healthy enough to do those things. And I was like, well, I suck at writing. I didn't finish school, but I guess I'm going to have to put a book together to tell this story so that I can reach more people with this message that's on my heart.
Yeah, I mean, last year, I remember you talking about how you were just starting to write, and you kept saying over and over that you weren't an author. And you've kind of gotten past that a little bit. But, you know, you could have continued your mission simply by investing into the businesses and investing into our members and continue to help them change their lives just through what we're doing at FastFit and the Perfect Workout. And yet this book sort of came out of you. It was like birthed out of you. Tell us a little bit more about that writing journey. Just what was it like from idea through making it happen and getting it into a manuscript?
Yeah, I've heard people say before when they wrote a book that they were like, you know, I kind of thought I would write a book someday, or I wanted to write a book, which again, I didn't really want to. But regardless of where they started, they all ended up saying the same thing, which is like, it just sort of flowed out of me when the time was right. And so when I sat down and started thinking about this, the same thing happened. It just sort of flowed out of my heart to all these people, to myself, to my dad, to this person at my church, to my kids. Mm. And so that was kind of an effortless process. But at the same time, it was very challenging because there's this idea I heard recently from some philosopher that writing is editing, and there's sort of like no greater thing that you can do. And so I mentioned recently in one of my Instagram posts, like, you can't hide in a manuscript, you know? And so it was sort of a journey that forced me to sit down and go, what do I really, truly believe about myself, about health? And because once this stuff is out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's having an impact on people. I need to be damn sure, so to speak, that it's the right thing and it's true. So there was sort of a crucible, if you will, of like months of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to struggle with this, or I'm going to wrestle with this a little bit more. And at the same time, being on the other end of this journey now, the book comes out April 1st. We've got a study guide that's coming out with it. Cause like you said, some of the early readers have been like, this is great and it's actionable and I need to have some tools to do that. I feel so much more in touch with who I am, and I've become healthier even in the process.
To put you on the spot a little bit, what were maybe one to two of those really big insights or insights that you got through that process when you had to clarify your thinking and your beliefs?
Yeah, I had a bunch, but I think the identity part of the book, and then in a lot of the health sections of the book, I'd start writing these things to whoever the audience is. And then I was sort of pressure testing, is this really what I believe and why? And then every time I'd get emotional, because then I ended up finishing the writing to myself, because it was like,
that's powerful,
preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
And so there was some more healing on the identity stuff. There was some more stuff when I talked about hiding and quick dopamine triggers and wow, I am still using alcohol to relax my brain too much.
Yeah.
Or I am still addicted to foods too much. And so there were some things that came up loud in the process that I'm really, really grateful for that I wasn't really expecting.
Amazing.
Because self-awareness is hard.
Yeah.
And the book put it right there as sort of like looking in a mirror.
Well, I know that when you sent me one of the early manuscripts, I'm reading through it going, oh my gosh, he's just talking to me right now. It just felt so personal and felt so relevant. And I just remember having my notepad out, making so many notes. And so I think you accomplished both, you know, your own transformation and belief shifts, but also just even from unedited versions, it was clearly meant to be out in the world. And so, which on that, there's obviously a very... like faith is a core theme of this book. And yet it's not just for people of faith. This book is for anybody. And that was my experience reading it, regardless of your background or your beliefs. What is your hope or your intention for the audience, for anybody who decides to pick up this book, whether it's, you know, our members or just anybody out in the world? What do you want it to do for people?
Yeah. I believe the message in this book is universal, that, and you can feel it. You have a purpose, you have a calling, you have hopes and dreams, and you're called to have a big impact on those around you. And in order to do that, you need to be the healthiest version of yourself. And it starts with your identity. And then when it comes to the how to get healthy, I follow the same philosophy in this book that we follow at FastFit, which is there's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of junk out there. And we talk all the time about the 80-20. And so, no, I'm not a physician. I'm not a researcher. But I did my best to, I guess my hope for this book is that when people get done reading it, they actually feel like the yoke is taking off their shoulders. The burden is removed. And they go, man, there are a lot of great tools and perspectives here that are simple and easy, and I can get started now, versus this is great, but it's so complex and so burdensome that I still feel as stuck in stress as I did before.
Yeah, well, and real quick to touch on that, what's your current take on just the current state of fitness culture and health culture? Sometimes it seems like it can be so all-consuming and be screaming to take over your life.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Yeah. When I meet people that are doing anything in our space, I really truly believe, and maybe this is just part of who I am at my core, that people have good intentions.
Yeah.
And that people are like myself, where they're excited and they want to help other people. At the same time, we live in systems that reward certain things, and they're not always the right thing.
Yeah.
And so when you get online right now, like the algorithms and stuff, they just award nuance. And they award the extremes. They award the things that might be true, but taken out of context or don't matter. And we've talked about this before, and I talked about it in a prior episode. There's this idea of the Dunning-Kruger effect. And yeah. So somebody doesn't know much about a topic. They start to learn more about a topic, and I'm guilty of this all the time, and they feel like they're an expert. So then they go on and start screaming about all these things. And the truth is, the further they go, the more they realize this is big and complex and we don't know anything about it. And so it's why the people that influence me the most, I think do a lot better job of staying in the gray and less dogmatic and helping people understand there's a lot to this stuff. And at the same time, it doesn't have to be so black or white. And so in our space, I guess what I'd say about that, there's a lot of bad information, a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of good information that doesn't work without context. And what I think it does is it creates a lot of disunity and it creates a lot of stress. And the truth is, the things that are required for you to get healthy require almost none of those.
Yeah.
Those things. So
it's so simple, right?
They're simple.
Yeah, simple. Well, I think your book does a lot of speaking for itself, a lot of speaking for you and all these topics. I don't want to go on too much longer. I think that everybody should read the book. When and where can people pick up a copy?
Yeah, so the plan right now is April 1st. You can purchase these. Most places books are sold. Amazon, both Kindle version and print. Barnes & Noble, some other places. I'm going to be working on an Audible version.
Cool.
And then again, we decided to go ahead and release a study guide alongside it so that if you read the book and you say, now I want to take action steps on this, whether it's working on my mindset or my identity or what my purpose and calling is, or sleeping better or eating better or the 80-20 when it comes to strength training, the study guide not only walks you through that, but it was actually designed in a way that you can do it with your friends or church group or loved ones or work colleagues, etc. So
yeah,
pretty much you can find it wherever you look April 1st.
Awesome. Exciting. Yeah. Well, we always give you a hard time because the second that a project launches, you have 75 other ideas that you're already moving into. So I imagine this book is coming out. You've got this date coming up. What's next? What are you thinking about? What's on your mind?
Yeah. I guess I'm excited about four things.
Of course.
Exactly. One of them we'll talk on a future episode. I've taken some of these simple tactics myself the last few months, and I'm continuing to improve my health, my fat loss, my strength, and it's been really great. This is probably the best I've ever felt. So maybe in a future episode, we'll talk about that journey.
I can.
At the same time, if you read the book, I talk in the very beginning of it about how I'm going to write two more, and I didn't expect that to happen. And yet, as I looked at this arc of becoming fit for your calling, it's also my belief that people are called to lead in many different capacities, and that leadership in today's world is also, unfortunately, a lot of conflict. People migrate to here or migrate to there, and they can't lead together. So I think the next book is going to talk about the subject of being called to lead. And then the third book, Leading Kingdom, and what does kingdom look like, and what does kingdom here on earth look like? And so I plan to write two more books, and then, of course, we are expanding FastFit. We're on a mission to revolutionize exercise. We're opening a bunch of new studios this quarter. We're hoping to flip our Perfect Workout Studios into this new business model and open up a lot more. So we've got all that going on too.
That's amazing. That sounds like job security for the marketing team. Myself,
I feel you good get to about stick around.
Yeah, I get to stick around. So cool, man. Where can people find you? Connect with you? Where can they follow the journey?
Yeah, you can either follow us at all the FastFit stuff, our FastFit podcast, or et cetera, or I've got kylerecchia.com, and kylerecchia.com tells you about the books, tells you a little bit about myself, and it links you to my Instagram and to our podcast, et cetera. So that's probably the best place to go.
Awesome. Thanks for chatting today, man.
Yeah, doing
it. How was it being
on
that side?
You know, it's a little more nerve-wracking being in the hot seat. I didn't think I'd cry, but appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad you did. I think that was important. So it shows people you're real.
Yeah.
You're not an AI bot.
That's fair. Yes, I am. I am not an AI bot.
All right. That's a pod.
All right, brother.
See ya.
See ya. Thanks for tuning in to the FastFit podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at fastfit.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make exercise simple, empowering, and a part of a life well lived. See you next time.